The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Thank you. There's about twice as many people here this afternoon as there was this morning. Do you know what scared feels like? Anyway, this is looking a little bit scary on the board, these big words. But we know a lot more now than we did even 10 years ago about how the brain works and how to feed it and what to do to get comprehension, to get everything going in the brain two-thirds faster. I told you this morning about phosphatidylserine that a pharmacist taught me about when I was working in Alberta, that it's the only phospholipid in the pre and post synaptic membrane that shoots the message, the incoming stimuli, across the synaptic gap. If you find there's problems there, you might think back to your diet, what is in there. Because the American diet is 30 to 1. In the insane asylums and prisons, it's 70 to 1, omega 6 to omega 3. It's 2 to 1, 1 to 1 or 2 to 1 is what we want. I'm thinking green things and nuts and seeds and vegetables, the original diet for man. That's what would give us the right ratio. And it's a sad thing in our society, what we eat. Too much saturated fat, that's what's pushing this up to 30 to 1 and 70 to 1. How are you going to get better? How are you going to think better? A bright light happens when we look at scientific discoveries and apply them along with spiritual knowledge from God's letters to us from the Bible. I just gave you a little nugget there. What does it say in Genesis about what to eat? That'll give you the right omega 6 to 3 ratio. And rats who ate blueberry supplements showed improved memory performance in the hippocampus, the main area of the brain that is continuously replacing neurons. Blueberries affect the brain by providing the highest known source of antioxidants. We were just talking here up the front about Saskatoon berries, and I think they'd be very comparable. Have to prove that. Improvement in memory and access to words, that's the retrieval of them, occurs even 5 hours after eating blueberries. So if you want a spark in your brain and get some good thinking going that you will be happy with, you eat your blueberries, a cup of a day. The frozen ones transmit their anthocyanins more readily. The wild blueberries send twice as many anthocyanins. Where I live, I can only get those from Safeway. What a secret to know as your baseline for good comprehension and memory. Flavonoids, they're a flavonoid. Pomegranates, black carrots, red cabbage, purple cauliflower, plums. So neuroscience, which is what we're talking about, is all about thinking. Think of the implications. You can emerge from long periods of depression. You can learn something new, even in a state of phobia or trauma. There's hope for people recovering from illnesses of thought, all because of neuroscience and new discoveries that affect the psychology and psychotherapy. Now, here's a way you can improve your neurons. We're losing about 500 an hour, and we can produce 700 to 1,500 new neurons a day. So, of course, we want to know about things that cause us to make new ones. Learning a new musical instrument will promote the growth of new neurons. Fasting can increase the synapses in the brain and promote neuron growth. Traveling to a new place with new scenic routes. Reading a story that helps you feel what another person feels in physical sensation and movement causes new neurons to develop. Physical exercise stimulates the growth of new neurons. And see the positive side of everything also causes new neural growth. I have a fellow friend right now who's probably the most abused person in Canada. And he said to me recently, "Bonnie, how come you're always so cheerful and positive?" I thought that was the best compliment anyone had ever paid me. And that's the way we all would like to feel. So we need to see the positive side of even a person we don't like. The latest, greatest impetus to new thought sparks in the brain is indeed the humble blueberry. Just warm them up in a frying pan first thing in the morning with no oil. Don't microwave them. Use one cup a day per person. You'll start thinking, planning, and implementing your thoughts much earlier in the day. Do you have a child difficult to teach? Smile at the child. Give acceptance no matter what you face. Warmly place your arm around his shoulders. Point to the props and ask him to put the one first that he wants to do now. Remember I showed you the props this morning? The little sticks with the different shapes and colors where the student can plan his own work for a week himself and then put it up looking visual spatial. Blueberries are rich brain food. Blueberries are powerfully effective against free radicals that damage by oxidative stress caused by radiation, drugs, pesticides, cigarette smoke, and other pollutants. So we need new neurons to form for retention and application of new and old learning. Cells regenerate due to the consumption of omega-3 and antioxidants primarily. Have you ever dealt with a dull-brained child? Change the diet. Watch him learn much faster and look brighter. This is critical information. We have to cover it before I can show you about how to do right brain comprehension. This is so critical. The education and coaching you're giving your child, these tools will raise memory and focus if the adequate nutritional needs are met. And I said to you this morning, you can get your children involved in this. That child that's creating his own goals for the week with those little props, he can also figure out how we're going to have more omega-3 this week. You know, well, Mom, I think we could buy some kale and put a leaf of kale in that brain smoothie that Bonnie gave us the recipe for. We could do that. So you want to create new neurons before you create curriculum. Raise the regeneration or spark of neurons, refuting ADHD at the same time. You can use a blueberry smoothie. We'll learn this in the comprehension class. You've got your handout there. And then use good education in the child's life with effective motivation and praise. And then use your effective coaching to doing reciprocal patterning and stick walking. Well, I'll have to show you what that's like if you get stuck with loss of attention, then there are two things you can do. We do it in the public schools. I was in public schools in Alberta, not in BC. But you can purchase four foot dowels from the lumber store, and you want to walk for 2 minutes this way. I'll show you. And you want to do that for 2 minutes. They calm right down. And then if we're teaching them on Zoom, here's what we do. 2 minutes, crossing the midline. So those are the two exercises that you can do to break up your learning, your teaching time. So if you learn these dietary needs for focus and memory, you can expect to take two-thirds shorter time. That should say shorter time. We did an experiment in Alberta. I had a counselor working with me on a group of students, and half of them took the PS for the brain I told you about, phosphatidylserine, and half didn't. And the half that took the PS got their goal for reading rehabilitation in two-thirds the time. Isn't that something? Because they could focus and remember. So you become an expert in foods for learning. Raise the amount of omega-3, add the hemp seeds, flax seeds, or chia seeds, don't add them all because they do have a bit of blood thinning effect, and the greens to the diet. One tablespoon of flax has 2 grams of fiber too, and you can make an egg out of flax. You can bring flax and water to the boil and then it'll turn to gel and strain it, and that gel stuff is just like adding an egg to your recipe. So there's two types of omega-3. The DHA in foods, algae, seaweed, spirulina. You can buy the spirulina in a green powder. Hemp, chia, and flax seeds. If you're going to add flax and chia to the smoothie, you're going to get it thicken up quite a bit. We make that brain smoothie, teach the parents to make it, and then we ask them to give half before they go to school and half when they get out of school. Walnuts, fish oil, the greens are the way to get enough of this omega-3. Walnuts are interesting. About 10 a day, a handful is what we need. And of course, we give children about a third of what we take as adults. EPA is converted from plants and the English walnuts and broccoli, spinach, potatoes. If there's too much food in the diet, though, from omega-6, that's like poultry, eggs, dairy, then there's competition. So the body's conversion of plant omegas will be reduced. Remember we spoke this morning about not getting to the end result of the fatty acid chain. That's pretty serious. In Hollywood, they say you can always tell a party that the vegetarians are having because everybody's so calm. They're calm because they get to the end of the fatty acid chain, the PGE1, prostaglandins. If you don't get that far, it's because you're taking in too much saturated fat. So don't age more quickly. You include the omega-3 content. You eat the spirulina powder, which you can simply put on your cereal in the morning, say 1 teaspoon, and don't avoid the walnuts. Now, epigenesis is the power behind change. Neuroplasticity, we remember that from the adage that Eric Kandel, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in medicine the year 2000, neurons that fire together, wire together. So we keep on going with that original desire to change. My little fellow friend who is so traumatized, he said, "Bonnie, I want a whole new life." That's epigenesis. That's somebody who wants to do things differently than what they've been doing. And the heredity is so bad in some people for I don't want to say predestination, but it's almost like that, to do things, you know, alcoholic father, drug addict mother, this kind of thing. So the power to change, where does that come from? Where does that statement come from? I want a whole new life. I was shocked. I'm sure praying for people will do it. I'm sure blueberries will help. Taking PS too. When neurons fire, they wire. And this impacts the triad of reading in three ways. Regeneration is spark of wonderment. And trial. I wonder, if I try this, will it work? And then we try it and we keep doing it over and over again. We don't want to just try. This isn't working. I think I'm going to try this to teach reading next week. I'm not sure. I think maybe I should. And then all these different things are happening and neurons don't have the opportunity to make thick roads, thick pathways to each other. Retrieval, we do the same thing over and over again. And then we get that automaticity, kind of that instinctual knowing, the setting it until it's automatic, the renewal. So we'll need to teach children many times about their nutritional choices. Let them pick. If they're in charge this week of their own goals for their math and their reading, then I'll get to page such and such. I'll get so I can memorize my three times tables this week. So they plan the goal, and they can, they've sparked it, so they'll more than likely get there. With teaching teenagers, we need to cut media. Scientists say we only need an hour a day for them. When I was going to school, we didn't have cell phones or computers, so our brains are wired differently. But they need an hour a day. They need a cup of blueberries a day to keep focusing and increase their alertness. Neurogenesis causes stimuli to evolve from external or internal sources. You can think things up or maybe get ideas from something. Dyslexia inhibits memory and organization ability in the brain. Make sure that the spark of thinking processes is not inhibited by a lack of the nutritional needs that fuel good memory and brain organization. Remember that 60% of ADHD students have an overlap of dyslexia. We need to increase the omega-3 for these students, as well as antioxidants. Do the necessary teaching about the nutrition to them. Don't mention it just once, and that's why I'm not mentioning it once either. And Paula Talau discovered this at Rutgers University, that for a child to recall a sound, if dyslexia is present, can take 500 milliseconds or longer. Now, I had one student take 10 minutes. For one thing, he was stubborn, and another thing, he had ADHD, and of course, he had dyslexia. And then, of course, too, he thought I was going to do it for him, but I didn't. I know that the incoming stimuli has to come from him. And that's one of our main faults, or the main faults of the usual teaching of reading, is to, Johnny, this is a. He could look at the apple, and he could say a, and he could do that every time. And then he'd be making his own road, see? You would... You would have a sound bank your own. You don't need to make it better. But I waited 10 minutes for that boy, and he knew I wasn't going to give it to him, and so he said it. And from there on, we did it that way. We did the regenesis, you know. The language was already in him, but the birth of the sound must come from him. Then we have retrieval. Well, is he faulting on that letter? Different times? Pop your vowel card. He'll come up with it. So reorganization means that the roads have been built. Now there's permanent conscious intuition while decoding words that the student has never seen before. These ones that you broke up in syllables and walked in and did the building of. So these words can be anywhere from 2 to 10 grades higher. Decoding has been relentless. A list of higher than grade level words should be done every day. This leads to automaticity. On automatic, no more help is needed. Just like playing the piano, you watered the plant over and over, put in the fertilizer, did it about 50 times or more, and the student got 5 grades accomplished. I have a grade 5 student right now, and he won't quit. He's in grade 10 reading, and he still won't stop. He's decoding there. Due to the fact that you fostered his climb 2 or 3 grades, if ADHD is present, we go 3 grades above, he will not encounter decoding difficulties again. He's finished with you. Make sure his vocabulary and comprehension are adequate. You can borrow tests for this that I have. If he's a big media user, chances are the vocabulary could be too low. When TV and media, the vocabulary is grade 3. So we'll talk about how the change is made. When you decide you want change, there's a chemical change in the brain that happens. The old and the young can do it just by speaking of what they want to do. Just like this person I'm telling you about. I want a whole new life, Bonnie. And then there's my mother and stepfather. She couldn't cook like he wanted. He was English. She said boo to eating cockles and mussels, and she pulled up the healthy diet every time, right in the face of the Englishman. And that's what you do with your children. You bring the greens, make those salads. Epigenetics is the science of turning gene markers on and off by changing behaviors. The signals we give are our choices. Remember, the change begins when you say you want the change, right? And you're actually creating a chemical happening in the brain. If you take a positive attitude, now this is probably the most important thing we know of here in this discussion. If you take a positive attitude, which you didn't have before about something, a meditated scripture, didn't do that before, or a memorized one, these are the signals that change the brain. The predisposition, that was the word I wanted before. Not to do these things means that you will live with your hereditary predisposition. Maybe we are predisposed to smoke, to eat wrong foods excessively, or worry too much. We can actually signal the change to the predisposition of these genetics. It says, yes, you can change the expression of any gene. The way you were born can be changed. The genes, scientists, the expression of them. Scientists have found that in a loving, nurturing environment, markers increase in the hippocampus that keep us calm and peaceful. Worry is dampened by acetyl markers. You are not destined to live like your ancestors. Break the patterns through choice. So how do you create a loving, nurturing environment for your students? You stick on their way of thinking, their preferred, let's say their closest neural, the way the neurons are set up, you have them closer together in one area of the brain than all the others. And then there are two wings to that that are also close, but there's one part that is closer. You can be tested for that by the BTSA thinking styles test, BTSA thinking styles test by Catherine Benziger. You can learn which area of the brain is the closest, neurons closer together, so that you can pick a career that would give you the greatest happiness. Then you would have 1/100th the stress that you do working in a career where the neurons are farther apart. So with the dyslexic people, we want to keep the Mozart music on, the little visual spatial props that have been created, and the color line and space, and some body kinesthetic work, like I showed you the two ways there that you can do the inspiration for the ADHD type of brain to give it a break. Now we'll just talk about, epigenetic marks are changed simply by stating what you want to do. That is the signal. Predisposition is not a destiny. Check out Ephesians 2:10. Basically it says that God created us uniquely to do good works as unto Jesus. If that was Jesus, that dyslexic child you're teaching, how would you do it for him? And that these works were prepared for us beforehand to do. In our genetics, we have different people's levels of patience. And sometimes we need to learn patience. And it's a privilege to learn it through teaching a child. God knows all about our unique predispositions, and he has a plan to help you overcome them. A career, a life work, a life path, a habit. Yes, you can change your life. Twins have the same genome. They may react differently in life happenings, though. Their patterns of expression can be tweaked through signals. So your choosing and thinking becomes the signal that activates or deactivates the generational issues in our lives. Dr. Caroline Leaf. She wrote a book, Switch on the Brain. I highly recommend it. Dr. Leaf emphasizes that you are predisposed because of ancestral decisions, but you can evaluate these and choose to eliminate them. Choices are epigenetic signals. Think of the choice to follow Jesus in life. We apply the cross, we confess our sins, repent of them, and eliminate future sinful choices. Turn your feet, I call it. These signals alter our expressions of the genetic markers. These choices we make affect our children and grandchildren. You wonder how change happens. Change your own attitude and watch the results with those you associate with. They will react differently and in some cases will feel that maybe this won't last. Methyl markers. These are just changes in the chemistry in the brain that happen when we make a choice. They switch off genetic expression. Acetyl markers turn them on. We change the physical expression of the brain when we switch on happiness, peace, and good health, or when we switch on anxiety, worry, and negativity. Back in 1930, scientists thought nerve pathways were fixed. Not so. So, I think this is the end. Simply by allowing students to think up little pods of work that need doing in a certain week will change their whole approach to learning. They will feel in control of what will be done and see how far it can go toward a goal. They will need help to learn to place a goal and which pods should be in place to get there. Capture the thought of being able to do things with the student's hands right into it and doing it. Suddenly he feels empowered and his self-worth rises significantly. And you can copy down those Bible verses there. With respect to your handouts, I've given you the written flat words on the flat page, and then I gave you a page that pictorially represents what I'm saying. If you're going to teach a class of dyslexic people, you need those little pods, those little circles around something that you've drawn that depicts what you want imprinted in the brain. So you see how it's done. And then I gave you a grade 5 reading article that I wrote, and it tells some facts in there, and I've depicted the facts on the right side of the page showing what the facts are in pictures. See, the right-brained person needs right-brained language. So anything you want to be remembered, put the pictures on the right side that depict those facts. So I'm going to do a bit of that work on the board here with it's an article called Universe 25. Because you're all grown up now, we won't need to do grade 3, 4, 5, or 6 comprehension exercise, but these booklets here are available at one of the trade tables, and they're about grade 6. They're all different little titles. Here's one about blackberries. It shows a little article on one side of the page and a picture on the other. And you can make the facts all into little pictures like what I've done there. That's the way that needs to be done to help the right brain student get the image in his head. These are children who have watched too much TV and movies and media, so that the picture part, which is on the right front lobe, has shut down. It's become very slow and lethargic. And dyslexic people have trouble sleeping too. So you're getting some things that influence dyslexia sleep trauma, media, and food. Four things. You can remember it by STEM, sleep trauma, eating, and media. Those are the things that pull comprehension down. And of course, you've already got the dyslexia there, which is not going to pick up on the left brain curriculum. So for comprehension expectations, don't worry about it until the student is able to read. And then you can give a few lessons. You'll find the vocabulary is probably down a bit, but there's lots of good programs on the internet for that. You can do a few words a week and use them in your family language as well. So the kiosk where you'd buy these books at $5 a piece is the, I think it's the Amazing Facts, but I'm not sure what number it is. Universe 25, you can probably Google it. It's an experiment done. Does anybody know about Universe 25? I'll just give you a little lesson here in adult comprehension. Anybody know about it? It's a little bit of information about how we could interpret social collapse. I don't know if you see any signs of social collapse right now, but here's what happened to some mice. The experiment was done 25 times by John Calhoun, an American scientist who I think he did this about the end of the 60s, and the last mouse died in 1973. They call it the most terrifying experiment in the history of science. The behavior of a colony of mice and an attempt by scientists to explain human societies. The idea of Universe 25 came from the American scientist John Calhoun, who created an ideal world in which hundreds of mice would live and produce. More specifically, he built the so-called paradise of mice, a specifically designed space where rodents had abundance of food and water, as well as a large living space. They had everything. Do people nowadays have everything? Let's see what this looks like when we take it over to the board. Is this going to make noise? All you need is to know the title. And the student needs to number each page before when he studies for an exam. And he doesn't have to keep going over and over words. He looks at the pictures, and the pictures will coach what he wants to remember. Pictures just make an imprint in the brain. If he has enough phosphatidylserine from his higher omega-3 diet. On each page, he's going to draw a line down. On this side, he's going to put the topics. So, I put mice paradise on here, and I put they had water, plus plus. What else was it they had? Probably toys. And they had space. See, I'm only putting one word, but how do I draw space? I'll just draw a circle, toys. Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Legos or something. I don't know. And there's water. Okay, so what happened next? He put four pairs of mice. and so on. And then four pair of mice started to reproduce, and their population grew. And you don't need to go into any detail. So the population grew, and then after 315 days, their reproduction went down. You get the gist here, I'm not doing a really great job. 315 days, well, if we, any information we have, we just put a circle around it. That can also be called a pod if you can't come up with some things visual spatial like I made there. What you can do on a page, if you want to teach a course, you don't put anything down on the left side in a list. You put little circles of the things that you're going to do today and put something in the pod. And then the dyslexic sees that space and line and he gets, oh, I can do this, or I like this. Okay, so 350 days down population. Okay, I didn't put a picture there, so I don't want to take a lot of time. Okay, so I need somebody to help me erase this board faster. Pardon? Yeah, I got one. Okay, then the population started to go down 350 days later after these four pair of mice were reproducing. Then it reached 600. And I'll just ditto it there. And so we got to 600, and a hierarchy was formed between them. And then the so-called wretches appeared. What are you going to do here? Hierarchy. We're studying for this exam, and we need to remember all this. So hierarchy formed. Okay, so how do you draw a wretch mouse? Let's see here. I'll draw his teeth and I don't know. He's a big boy anyway, and he's big and scary. Okay, so wretch mice formed. Those larger rodents began to attack the group, and with the result that many males began to collapse psychologically. Okay, so these, we can bubble off here and put attack group. If you, as long as you only use a couple of words, the comprehension flows fast when the student is trying to remember what happens. Okay, and what happened to many males, it says? Little males, they just collapsed, right? So, males collapsed, many males collapsed, bubble off the word many. Okay, then what happened then? As a result, the females did not protect themselves and they became aggressive toward their young. Can you help me to... All right, so now we got females that become aggressive. How do you draw an aggressive female mouse? Okay, I'll just... females... aggressive. And on the right side, this is to keep our topics going, but here we have, they also became aggressive to their young, right? They became aggressive to their children. So instead of putting two words in the bubble here, I'll just put one, keep my nice visual spatial going, and we'll draw a little child mouse here. Children. So once the wretch mouse appeared and they attacked the group, then many of the males became useless and collapsed, and the females reacted by they didn't protect themselves, they became aggressive. All right, so now what happened? How are we doing time-wise? Okay, so then the aggressive females, they became also, they increased in aggression. We put an arrow up so we could draw the female mouse, the little skirt on here. Yeah, I'm mad. So they increased in their aggression. They became isolated. We can just bubble that off. They became more isolated. Women doing things in groups, not doing things with their husbands. Their reproductive mood went down. I'll just put no babies. Don't want. Okay, we're going to need help to rub this out again. Almost done. Thank you. And then they got this low birth rate, and at the same time, the mice died off. The young mice died off. I wonder what they died of. But maybe lack of care. So there was this low birth rate. Low birth rate, and we can just put here a couple words, low birth rate. Thank you. That's excellent thinking. Okay. And then we want to say that the young rodents died off. Okay, they were just, I just draw a little younger rodent. And so the young ones, if we don't go through this exercise, then you can't tell the story to somebody else. The last thing you do in this exercise is retell. You tell everything that you drew the pictures of. It's not you that's drawing it, it's the student, okay? He's the one that gets the memory from drawing the pictures. It's not mom standing there telling all the interesting facts, verbal, and the poor little dyslexic kid, he can't keep this. So anyway, so the young ones are dying off. Now what happens? Now something happens. Low birth rate, the mothers are aggressive, they abuse their young, and there's a low birth rate and the increase in mortality of younger rodents. Then a new class of male rodents appeared, the so-called beautiful mice. What do you think they're like? Beautiful mice. Something new happened out of all this. You get these beautiful mice. They have two attributes. They refused to fight for their space, and all they cared about was food and sleep. And I mean to tell you, this is serious. I'm in the single bracket now, and my friends can't get their boyfriends to go out with them and do things. It's very serious. They won't go out. They just want to stay home and do whatever they do and show up once in a while. So we'll put down two things about them. See how I spread that information out so nice and wide and lots of space around it. So the beautiful males, and they don't fight for their space. They just put them in a little room with their computer and their food, and they're fine. It's awful. Now what happens? In this scenario, which was done 25 times, and exactly the same thing happened. So we had, at one point, the beautiful males and the isolated females made up the majority of the population. And as time went on, the juvenile mortality reached 100% and reproduction reached zero. Among the endangered mice left, guess what? Two things happened. Homosexuality was observed, and at the same time, cannibalism increased, despite the fact that there was plenty of food. 2 years after the start of the experiment, the last baby of the colony was born. By 1973, that last baby had killed the last mouse in the Universe 25. Paradise of mice. He repeated the experiment 25 more times, and each time the result was the same. And this scientific work has been used as a model for interpreting social collapse, and this research serves as a focal point for the study of urban sociology. I think if you type in Universe 25 in the Google, you might come up with this very thing, but I thought I'd do this and see how you would be at telling someone else of this story. See, test your own comprehension. See if you need to get some PS or not for your brain. So anyway, we should just draw, just for the sake of you remembering this story, what happened. The isolated males and the beautiful males and the isolated females. Okay, so we draw, the beautiful male, he's looking at himself in the mirror, and then we have the isolated female. Well, we could draw her in a box, and she's slumped over because nobody will do anything with her. And so there she is sitting on the chair with her head in her hands. Isolated female. And then the beautiful male who just wants to eat and sleep. Okay, so that's what happened. And what else should we draw? Oh yes, and the endangered mice that were left, we had two things show up. Homosexuality. I'm sure you wonder what I'm gonna draw. Dear, I don't know. There, we got them holding hands. Does that keep you happy? And then we got cannibalism. Oh dear, how am I going to draw this? A messed up mouse here on the ground, and the other one's eating him up. There. So we draw a circle around those, and we just put cannibalism Anyway, we look back on society and we think, when have we seen this? And are we seeing tendencies toward this again? I don't know. You have to think this over. So that's a little exercise in adult comprehension on the right side of the brain. You think you can remember things well? Well, there was a sequence of things here to remember. So if you were given a test, how would you do? How many days after the reproduction did reproduction go down in the mice experiment? After how many days? Huh? Wow. And when the rodents reached what number did hierarchy form? And 600. And then the what appeared? What appeared? The bad guys, the wretches, yeah. And what did they do? They attacked the group. And what happened to the males as a result of this? They collapsed. And what did the females do? They became aggressive to their young, and they showed more and more aggressive behavior and isolation, and they weren't interested in making mouse babies. So what happened to the birth rate? Really went down. Then something different happened. What was it? But beautiful mice. Wow, what were their attributes? They were lazy and they just wanted to eat and sleep and they didn't fight for their space. Let the other guy have it. I'll stay in my little space here. So then we had what kind of mice in our population? Two types. What were they? The beautiful mice and the isolated females. So then, in the endangered population, after the mortality of the juveniles went to 100%, what two things happened in the endangered mice group? Homosexuality and cannibalism. So there you have it. That's what social collapse looks like. So if you hadn't done this little experiment yourself, you wouldn't see what fun you can have doing the right brain comprehension with your children. And you can take any kind of reading, factual or narrative. Narrative is just a sequence. And the factual, well, maybe we want to know about sap coming from trees and all about that, or we want to know something about grass. Those little books here, they all, what this one is, the gospel according to a snowflake, the gospel according to a tree, thornless blackberry, and the gospel according to a dandelion, and according to a blade of grass. I use it for my students because there's not a lot of information to have to do it in right brain. Once you do it a few times, very interesting, imagery seems to come back in the minds of those students who have been watching too much media. It's interesting, you can bring it back. And once it comes back, then you can try to get them to record facts from their own reading and see if they remember things better. You can test sentence comprehension with the wide range achievement test, which I have, and I'll always do it for you free. So you can call me and say, well, I wanna do a pretest on my child's comprehension, and then I'm gonna do a few comprehension exercises like you taught, and then I'd like to do, like maybe say 10, on a certain grade, and then I want to have him tested afterward to see if he improved. He wouldn't improve that much over 10, but a few sequences of 10, depending how many grades. So if you want him to do grade 5 comprehension, do 10 on that, do 10 on 6, do 10 on 7, and then test them and see what the pre, you know, you need about 30 times. Depends how badly off you think his comprehension is. So did you enjoy learning about epigenetics and that you can change? Who needs to tell who that they can change? Does the husband need to tell the wife, or does the wife need to tell a husband? Can be very encouraging to say you can change. One of the most encouraging things I heard was that little fellow friend saying, "I want a whole new life, Bonnie." Pretty amazing. Where did it come from? And from there, the brain is not the same. It never will be, because it knows, hey, you said you wanted a whole new life. Inside, that spirit will speak in there. What are you doing about it? It may take quite a while. Or if someone's praying for that person, it may not take too long. Well, that's about all I have to offer, unless you have any particular questions. You like comprehension, right brain comprehension? Yeah, the biggest thing to remember is that once a person's reading is up to par, which means to be two grades above where they are in school, then usually you don't have to worry about it, you know. But if at any time you want to improve comprehension, you can do a little titillating exercise like that, you know. That's fun. And if he does the drawing, you know, at some of the, well, a lot of the dyslexics are really, really good in drawing. They're good cartoonists. They can do this pretty fast. And they can do it on the computer, or special programs that are free on the computer that allow them to draw easily. Just type in free drawing programs. And so a little of that goes a long way to help them really get their imagery back, which use of cell phones and too many movies and just too much artificial 3D coming into the brain has destroyed or pushed down to a much lower level. We can bring it up again by just getting them to draw these pictures. Thank you for your attention.